CVS is your one-stop shop for immunity support and more. This week, select Mucinex and Delsym cold relief products are $15.99. Visit CVS or CVS.com today. Restrictions apply. See CVS.com/weeklyad for details.
Produced for Richard Lerma, The Client is the Home Depot. Production date October 21st, 2020. Copyright 2020. This is a 30-second stereo spot in Spanish. Spot title, Pro Paint, /Bear Pro i300, /$17.99, /Hispanic, /CN30. Ad ID, YHTHD24RR30.
Como pintor profesional, eres tan bueno como tu último trabajo. Hazlo aún mejor con la pintura Bear Pro i300 para interiores de The Home Depot. Desde solo $17.99 el galón. Y eso es antes del descuento Pro Extra. Obtienes un desempeño superior que cubre y esconde cada detalle. Y una aplicación fácil y rápida con rociador, rodillo o brocha. Haz tu mejor trabajo con la pintura Bear Pro i300 para interiores a $17.99 el galón en The Home Depot. Haces más, logras más. Disponible en tiendas y por internet.
Produced for Richard Lerma, The Client is The Home Depot. Production date October 21st, 2020. Copyright 2020. This is a 30-second stereo spot in Spanish. Spot title, Pro Paint, /Bear Ultra Scuff Defense, /$29.60, /Hispanic, /CN30. Ad ID, YHTHD24RP30.
Como pintor profesional, sabes que tus clientes quieren un acabado mate, pero no quieren pagar el precio de tener que batallar con mugre y marcas. Usa el nuevo Bear Ultra Scuff Defense de The Home Depot para un acabado mate hermoso, más una defensa contra manchas y marcas. Y ese precio, desde solo $29.60 el galón. Y eso es antes del descuento Pro Extra. Una pintura mate que resiste las marcas. Bear Ultra Scuff Defense. Solo en The Home Depot. Haces más. Logras más. Disponible por internet y en tiendas seleccionadas.
One of these teams will have won a great World Series. Strike one on Willy Adames. I don't think I've ever done a Major League Baseball game and not thought of my dad. But it's impossible to not think of the 92-year-old Vin Scully, the greatest to ever do it. Started with the Dodgers in 1950, retired 4 years ago. That is strike two. 67 years of his life he poured into the Dodger organization, and you know he's watching and rooting. Ownership, Andrew Friedman, Dave Roberts. That's it, strike three. Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. That audio is courtesy of Fox Sports and Major League Baseball and Joe Buck and John Smoltz with the call on the 2020 World Series. The Los Angeles Dodgers making their third World Series appearance in 4 years, finally sealing the deal and getting it done. And I have a gentleman that's back on the program. He's the co-host of the Game of Inches podcast. We're here to recap the 2020 World Series. Let's welcome him back to the program, Dave Bartley. Hey, Dave, what's going on?
Hey, Ed, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, man. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So, yeah, we have a Major League Baseball season is in the books. It's strange circumstances, but nevertheless, it was a 60-game season, got through the COVID mess, which we'll talk more about the COVID mess in one moment. But let's start with the 2020 World Series, the Tampa Bay Rays and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Man, what a series it was. Before we get into both teams, just kind of give me your thoughts on how the whole series shaped up.
I felt it was pretty close. I think if you look back at the totality of the series, the total series, you can see that the games are separated by a couple of plays, right? If you go back to game four, if the Dodgers can hold on in game four and not have that crazy ending, maybe they end the series in five games. Whereas if Tampa Bay doesn't pull Blake Snell in game six, maybe there's a game seven. So if you look at the series as a whole, it was really close. It came down to a few things here and there that wound up in the Dodgers' favor, and that's why they ended up winning the series.
Yeah, did swing in the Dodgers' favor, as you said, as the seed series progressed. But, man, before we talk more about the Dodgers, I want to get into Tampa Bay for a moment. We had a star emerge in the series with Randy Arozarena. OMG, man, he was fantastic in this series. Man, give me your thoughts on Randy during the series and what are his plans moving forward with the franchise.
He didn't just emerge in this series. He emerged in this whole postseason, and he wound up being in the number three slot, or number two or three slot for Tampa Bay, which is a very high pressure batting order spot. If you're in the lineup, it's a position where you're expected to hit the ball hard, drive in runs, maybe drive the ball out of the ballpark. And he stepped up and he filled that role perfectly for the Rays. And I don't think the Rays get to the World Series without Arozarena, you know, tearing the cover off the ball the entire postseason. Now in this series, he was again fantastic, and I don't think the series goes six games if Arozarena doesn't perform the way he did. He was again on fire. The Dodgers had to be really particular about how they managed, you know, pitching to him, and in the end, they ended up getting it done because they were able to kind of contain him in this series for the most part, not completely, but for the most part.
Yeah, Randy emerged in this whole postseason, and it really showed in the World Series. Even though they didn't win, they still the future is still bright for him, and definitely, of course, with the likes of other names such as Brandon Lau and Hunter Renfro and Kevin Kiermaier, they all made the difference. So, Dave, let's the 2020 World Series. You predicted the Dodgers would win it in six. I had the Dodgers win it in seven. So you were on the mark on this one, but Clayton Kershaw. Clayton did his part. He finally got over the hump and proved that he could win the big one. He won game. He was a winner of games one and five in the series. Just kind of give me your take on Clayton and how he performed throughout the series.
I think he showed a lot of gut and a lot of metal because if you look at his start in game one was phenomenal. He was great in game one. He got a lot of run support, so he was able to relax and pitch his game. Now, if you look at game five, it was completely different. He did not have his best stuff. He was all over the place. He didn't have command of his curveball. He didn't have command of his slider. Like he had to tough it out in that game, and he did so. He kept his team in the game, and they ended up winning. But I think looking at Clayton Kershaw's career, he's the best regular season pitcher I've ever seen, and I've ever looked at as far as numbers-wise. So the fact that he's able to now put the exclamation point on his career where, yeah, he's got Cy Youngs, he's got MVPs, now he's got a World Series ring. Now what can people say? What can the critics say about Clayton Kershaw? Really nothing. And I'm one of those critics because I'm a Giant. Like, you know, I'm a Giants fan. So I love to critique, and I love to give it to the Dodgers wherever I can. I can't do that anymore because Clayton Kershaw now has a complete resume, a Hall of Fame resume.
Yeah, rightfully so, and definitely he's been through a lot. He's been one of the top pitchers for almost a decade now, and he's still, well, over a decade now, and he finally has that World Series ring. And another acquisition for the Dodgers, they pulled off the big trade in getting Mookie Betts from the Boston Red Sox. Well, Mookie showed up in the postseason, and he had some big runs in this World Series. Man, how important was Mookie throughout the course of this World Series?
Now, again, Mookie, you know, he had flashes with his bat, right? We've seen him struggle throughout the whole postseason, you know, elevating his batting average. And, like, he struggled with his bat throughout the entire postseason. But he made up for it in the NLCS with his glove, but in the World Series with his legs. Him and Corey Seager made some crucial base-running decisions that got them the extra base that ended up getting them – runs. We saw in game six where, you know, the Dodgers were struggling to score runs, them taking extra bases and Mookie being on his toes on the ground ball to first and getting a good jump. We saw that throughout the series where he was, you know, I think he had six steals in the series, including, you know, getting tacos for everybody in America, you know, which is great, but he made an impact on the base paths. And then, The final exclamation point, he hits the insurance home run for the Dodgers going into the last part of the game and really allowed them to relax a little bit with an extra cushion of a lead, without that run, I think it's a lot tighter ninth inning. You know, maybe, you know, Urias doesn't pitch as well because he's tighter because he doesn't have the lead have as big of a lead. Extra insurance run that Mookie provided with that home run really allowed his team to relax in that last inning, and we saw what happened. They ended up closing the deal.
Indeed, they did close the deal. And speaking of closing the deal, Corey Seager, what a postseason he had. And definitely his bat was hot in the World Series, wound up winning the World Series MVP. Just give me a take on Corey, because he has been a huge part of that Dodger championship nucleus for the last almost 5 years now. And, of course, being a part of that whole gang with Dave Roberts and Justin Turner and Max Muncy and so on and so forth. Just give me your take on Corey and how well he performed during this postseason run.
I mentioned this last time I was on the show. Corey Seager's had to overcome a lot of things to get to where he's at right now. And the biggest thing he had to overcome was Tommy John surgery. And normally that's a surgery that's reserved pretty much for pitchers. And, you know, it's really doing a number on your throwing elbow. And he had to go undergo that surgery as a shortstop, which you don't really see. And so anytime you have Tommy John surgery, it's a year of recovery. No matter, like, normally it's about a year of recovery. So the fact that he's able to now come back, he's fully recovered. He's back to where he was before his injury. You really see him making strides in exceeding the expectations the Dodgers and the Dodger fans had for him when he first came up. We heard a lot about Corey Seager when he was coming up, and the first couple seasons he was living up to those expectations, and then the injury kind of slowed him down. They finally got him corrected, and now we're seeing him back to exceeding those expectations for the Dodgers. And this time he actually was able to lead them in the postseason and lead them to the World Series.
Yeah, indeed. He definitely had a, like you said before, coming off the Tommy John surgery, he just had a tough road ahead of him. But hey, as they said, there was a light at the end of the tunnel. And not only did his team, the Dodgers, win the World Series, but he winds up winning World Series MVP. I mentioned about Clayton Kershaw. I want to get back to the pitching rotation for a moment. Walker Buehler. Walker Buehler had a nice game where he wound up winning a game for the Dodgers. He wound up winning, I want to say this was game three of the series. But also somebody that really stepped up was Julio Urias. Just kind of give me your take on Walker and Julio and the rest of the Dodgers' rotation in this series.
I think Walker Buehler is probably the next emerging stud pitcher that we're going to see for the next 10, 15 years in MLB. He's got an amazing fastball. He's got electric stuff. He's got a wicked curveball. He's got the strikeout stuff that we see from the greats like Kershaw, from the greats like Scherzer, from the greats like Verlander. He's got that kind of stuff, and he's young. And I remember when Justin Verlander, you know, was establishing himself, Walker Buehler reminds me a lot of Justin Verlander. So I think Walker Buehler is going to be that next star pitcher, Cy Young candidate, every single season for years to come. I think Urias, if he was on any other team, ace or a number two for most teams in the MLB. So to have that weapon, like I said this before the World Series, to have that weapon at your disposal to bring in at any point in time and just slam doors was a huge, huge advantage for the Dodgers. And we saw it in game six. He came in and pitched the last couple innings and was lights out. The Rays couldn't touch him, and he closed the deal. And it was especially big because we weren't sure where the Dodgers' confidence on Kenley Jansen was. And the fact that Kenley Jansen didn't come out for the ninth inning tells you a lot. They were riding the hot hand, whereas before, maybe they would have just said, you know, hey, let's put in Jansen no matter what because he's our guy. They were riding the hot hand. They were riding their upper hand advantage that they had, and it ended up working out for them.
And it worked out for him. And, you know, as you mentioned, Kenley Jansen, and tough goal for him in this series. I mean, thank God the Dodgers wound up winning the series, but it was just a tough goal for him. But certainly a lot to continue to discuss with the Dodgers. I want to mention about some of the other but the players on the team, such as we saw guys like Cody Bellinger, also Austin Barnes, Max Muncy, and Jock Peterson, as well as Will Smith and Chris Taylor. They contributed when needed. Just give me your take on how their performance was during the series.
I mean, all those guys had their moments. All those guys had their moments, especially throughout the postseason. Each one of them had a moment or two where, you know, they elevated the Dodgers to win that game or win a game. I think Chris Taylor is especially grateful that the Dodgers won the World Series, because him kicking the ball in game four in center field that ended up leading to a Rays win didn't come back to bite them. So he's not going to have to really see that, because the Dodgers ended up closing the deal. But he had crucial hits in the series. Bellinger had crucial hits. Everybody that you listed had crucial hits in the series or in the postseason, and was able to contribute to the Dodgers winning the World Series this year. But I think Chris Taylor is thanking his lucky stars that, you know, the Dodgers ended up winning, because had they not, that game four mishap in center field, you know, might be one of those highlight reels like, you know, Bill Buckner. And I don't think Chris Taylor would ever live that down. But thankfully for him, you know, Dodgers ended up closing the deal, and he doesn't have to have to worry about seeing that for years to come.
Thank God for that. Thank God that the Dodgers did win the series. And another key component of this World Series run, and someone that's been in the news for quite some time and continues to be in the news, and Justin Turner. Justin Turner had a nice series. Justin Turner made some key plays when they needed him the most. Unfortunately, there's a report saying that he tested positive earlier during the game. You could correct me if I'm wrong, and then he was removed in the eighth inning as a result of another positive COVID-19 test. And then when the Dodgers won the game, Kevin Burkhart, who does the Major League Baseball on Fox coverage, he reported it that Justin had tested positive, but they allowed him to come back on the field with his team and to celebrate. Is an awkward situation. It's still an awkward situation, nevertheless. First of all, give me your take on what he did during the series, and what's the aftermath going on with him and, you know, this COVID situation.
I think Justin Turner is the heartbeat of the Dodgers. I don't think the Dodgers make it past, you know, the first couple rounds without Justin Turner. Justin Turner is the heart and soul of that team. And so, you know, he had crucial plays, not only defensively, but offensively, where he contributed and elevated his team. Now, in regards to this whole COVID thing, you know, should he have come out? Should he have stayed in? Like, if it's me, you're going to have to strap me to the table to not like to make me not celebrate with my teammates. And from what I saw, his teammates, they all knew that he tested positive, and they still weren't weary of him in the celebration. So I don't think the players were necessarily like, you know, hey, back up. They were welcoming him into the celebration. It wasn't a normal World Series celebration, because there was no champagne popping or anything like that. It was just, you know, hey, I'm hanging out with my team. They all knew about it, so I don't think it was a big deal. I do see why people are concerned about it. Like, I get that. But at the same time, you know, if his teammates weren't concerned about it, then should we as the public really be, you know, overreacting over it? I don't think so. And so, like I said, if it was me, you would have to strap me down to keep me from joining my teammates in the celebration.
Interesting that you put it that way. I mean, he definitely showed up in this series, man, and you're right about that. He is the heart of that team. But I don't know, it's still a fluid situation with COVID, and, you know, people have their misgivings about this. I mean, only time will tell. We'll find out if the long term, if anybody would be affected as a result of him having his positive test. But nevertheless, the Los Angeles Dodgers win their first World Series title in 32 years, and it was definitely well worth the wait. I mean, they're their third appearance in 4 years. So now Dave Roberts has his ring now, Dave. So now where does this leave – where do you see the Giants moving forward coming into the 2021 season? They're the defending champs. The world is their oyster now. Do you see a possible repeat, or do you see your Giants – possibly trying to make a run at them? What's going on for the Dodgers in 2021?
I think the Dodgers or the Giants are in rebuild mode, so I don't see them competing with this level of team yet. maybe 2 or 3 years from now, maybe we have that conversation. But the Giants are rebuilding and retooling their roster, so I don't see the. I thought they overachieved this year, but that's another conversation for another day. The question was about the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers have the foundation and have the pieces to be World Series contenders year in and year out for the next 5 to 7 years. You're going to get Mookie Betts in his prime all those years. You're going to get Cody Bellinger in his prime all those years. If you bring back Justin Turner, you know, he's still performing at a high level. Corey Seager, who we saw win the World Series MVP and the NLCS MVP, he's in his prime. You got all these key pieces that are in their prime, plus you got, you know, rotation pieces that are coming up. You know, Buehler's going to be in his prime. Dustin May, you know, had a great season. Gonsolin had a great season. So you have a lot of key pieces. And you also have Urias, who you can – he's 24. You can put him, you know, in the starting rotation if you see fit, or you can have him close games. And we saw him close games for the Dodgers in the postseason. You know, he can do that. So they have the pieces. They have the infrastructure. Plus, they have a great farm system to be contenders for a long time. I think the only opposition for them in the NL West in the next few years is going to be the San Diego Padres. They have a very good rotation if they're healthy. And unfortunately, they weren't in the postseason, so we weren't able to see those matchups in the postseason against the Dodgers. But going forward in this division, it's the Dodgers, it's the Padres, it's a long line behind that, and then it's the other three teams. It's really Dodgers and the Padres are going to be battling out for this division for the next several years, and I think the Dodgers have the upper hand.
All right, fair enough. And then while we praise the victor of this World Series, we got to get to the loser, the Tampa Bay Rays. What do you see Tampa Bay going forward? We know the American League, the Yankees are going to have something to say. Minnesota's going to have something to say. Houston's going to have something to say. You know, so many, it's a lot of great teams in, or Oakland's got something to say. What do you see Tampa Bay going forward in 2021?
I think, you know, they're gonna do the same thing they've always done. They're going to be a good team. They're going to do it with a low payroll. They're going to, you know, they're going to find the advantages in trades that they always seem to find. And they're going to build and structure a team that's going to be cost efficient for them, because they don't earn a lot of money in their stadium, because their fans don't really show out for their games. And so they're handcuffed by that, you know, and they've always over – anytime the Rays make the playoffs, it's overachieving, because with their payroll, they shouldn't be where they are. And the fact that they, you know, they try to use their numbers to gain advantages all along the way, they'll still do that. And they'll still do that probably better than most teams, and they'll be in the mix. Do I see them in the World Series next year? Probably not. It all depends on what kind of moves they can make, what pitchers they sign, if Charlie Morton comes back, et cetera. The Rays always are fluid from year to year, and I don't see this offseason being any different for the Rays. They're gonna be fluid with their roster and make a ton of changes, and probably we won't see the same roster that we saw this year.
All right. Well, Dave, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to recap the 2020 World Series. So quickly, just tell the audience out there about the Game of Inches podcast.
Game of Inches podcast is hosted by me and a buddy of mine, Matt Cataldo, who I call MC Smooth, because so the story behind that is that he had a long beard, and he said, if the Dodgers win the World Series, I'm going to shave my beard. So he's now bald on top, and he's bald on his face, so I call him MC Smooth. But it's hosted by me and my friend Matt. We talk mostly baseball and football, but we cover everything. We cover UFC, we cover basketball, we cover hockey, you know, anything that's relevant we cover, but we mainly emphasize baseball and football. And you can find us anywhere you find any podcast.
All right, and now before we let you go, Dave, just tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as a Game of Inches, and if you guys have a website, let them know that as well.
You can find me on Twitter at DaveBartley_AV, Instagram at JuiceBoxBartley, and then you can find the podcast on all platforms, all social media platforms, at Game of Inches Pod. And real quick before I go, I need to shout out my man, DJ Severe, who is the Dodgers DJ. He's a friend of mine. Congrats to him and congrats to that organization.
All right, rightfully so. And you heard it from him. He's Dave Bartley, the co-host of the Game of Inches podcast. Check him out wherever you get your podcasts and also on social media. And he's helping me to recap the 2020 World Series. Dave, thank you so much for being on the show. And if ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Thank you, Ed. Anytime you want to have me on, I will make time for you.
All right, solid, man. And that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. I'm your host, Ed Robinson. Remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. And we'll leave you now with the Dodgers getting their final out and winning the 2020 World Series. So long, everyone.
One of these teams will have won a great World Series. Strike one on Willie Adames. I don't think I've ever done a Major League Baseball game and not thought of my dad, but it's impossible to not think of the 92-year-old Vin Scully, the greatest to ever do it. Started with the Dodgers in 1950, retired 4 years ago. That is strike two. 67 years of his life he poured into the Dodger organization, and you know he's watching and rooting. Ownership, Andrew Friedman, Dave Roberts. That's it, strike three. Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movements that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan. Or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.